Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Third Culture Kid virtual online forum, where our conversations of TCKs and faith come together. I'm Jonathan, and I'm an MK from both America and Nigeria. TCK VOF is a place for people to share their own stories and to learn from others. It is a place where people can safely explore the effects, benefits, and purpose of their cross-cultural upbringing. We also want to challenge TCKs to think deeper about how the cross-cultural component of their lives is tied to their faith. This podcast is brought to you by Crew, a caring community passionate about connecting people to Jesus Christ. So many in our listenership are around the same age and place in life as me. But even if you're not, I'm hosting this interview, and so therefore it will be about me. Just kidding. But I'm generally in the middle of the transition from college into the workforce. This is an equal parts important and terrifying transition as we fully make it into adulthood. Today's guest is Megan Norton, who has been working with TCKs for a very long time. A TCK herself, she works with Mukapa and is the host of a podcast called A Culture Story. She has done an amazing job leveraging her TCK-ness for her career, and so we wanted to ask her some questions. So first off, Megan, introduce yourself. Where are you from? All of the TCK things.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. Such a pleasure to be on your podcast. I'm Megan, and as Jonathan said, I'm a TCK, so where are you from and where is home are relative questions for me. Sometimes when I'm feeling snarky, I'll say when to this question. And I actually really love the TED Talk by Taye Selassie because she uses the expression, ask me where I'm local instead of asking me where I'm from. And so currently I'm local to West Michigan, but I've been local to actually 4 other US states and 9 other countries.
I like that. That's a version of what I've been using, which is like, I'm currently at, or I live here, but. So what was your experience with transitioning into your career? And what are some stories from TCKs who you have worked with in the past?
Well, personally, I've had a rather non-linear career. I've danced around different sectors that revolve around intercultural work. So I've worked in nonprofit, I've worked in higher education. Currently, I'm pursuing the entrepreneurial contract life. And so the field has always been intercultural work, but the function or the role has been different. So that's been teacher, educator, trainer, consultant, international student advisor, intern. You know, right out of university, I do tell TCKs that it's so hard to predict what kind of function you're going to have. But if you know the general field, that's really important to look at. So take advantage of those career service offices at the university because there's incredible resource, talent, and even assessments that help you to understand what career entry point you'll make. In terms of TCK stories, I find that the majority, and this is a broad generalization actually, that popular majors and minors are international relations or education, engineering, business, and all of these are careers or fields that allow more mobility than others. I'm finding, you know, TCKs do have that desire to continue their passion for travel and living. But also, I'm finding some TCKs are choosing to select an entry point career in the community in which they graduated, the university. And I think that's super important, especially in this day and age, because community is hard to cultivate. And when you graduate in the university area, sometimes you already have connections to the local community.
I like that term, non-linear career path. I think that's very endemic of a lot of TCKs. I know it's very exemplary of like my career path of like going to college, getting my degree in radio, and then doing some podcasting on the side, but heading towards grad school, very, very different career field, and I have multiple friends who have done similar. Specifically, I also want to touch base on the entry point where you graduated from, because I know that was very common where I went to school. So I went to school in Chicago. And I think the biggest thing for me when with that community aspect specifically is when I would go back to Chicago, I would feel like a longing, but not for the actual area, but just for proximity to community. Because I was going back to where my parents were, and there was like some community from like when I was in high school and from my parents' church, but not that same level of college life together community that was established. And it took me a while to like pinpoint that feeling, because it felt very similar to like, oh, I just miss Chicago and I miss this place. But it was never like, I want to live here. It was more like, I just want to live close to these people, where these people are, which is a tangent on like home and relationship. Home is connected with relationship, and we didn't have to go there. What do you think is the most important thing in the transition from college to quote-unquote adult life?
I want to put this on a bumper sticker someday, that adulting is hard, don't attempt alone, because I think that personal leadership changes so drastically, and you're going to need your people and your support network and your social networks to navigate adulting. Really, everything changes drastically from university into quote unquote adult life, from time management when, you know, in university, you have a set schedule, you have advisors who are saying, this is what you need to do in fall or spring. You have professors telling you what's important to remember. But in adult life, you have to practice different kinds of self-discipline. And, you know, what's most unfortunate is that you don't typically have 2 months off for summer or 3 weeks at winter break. You typically only have 2 weeks off of paid vacation a year. But this goes beyond time management. It goes into your community. In university, sometimes you have a built-in community with roommates and with school clubs. But when you're adulting, you have to be more intentional of finding that community. Also, part of adulting that's kind of tricky is finances. Like in university, sometimes you just have a handful of bills and, you know, you have a limited budget. But in adult life, you have more bills and sometimes you have a bigger budget to play with, but the temptation is there. So don't go into debt. And everyone's going to have different salaries, different cost of living, different expenses. So finding a financial mentor is pretty key. But beyond all this, also in the job context, you need to define what success looks like for you and means for you. It will look different for different people in different careers. And I personally believe that a full-time job is not a marker of wellness or success. I think you need to have healthy boundaries. You need to have healthy goals and not define success by what others think it is for you, but what you know is healthy for you. And sometimes this is super challenging for TCKs because there are a lot of TCKs who are high achievers, who are type A, who are competitive, who set high expectations. And this stems from our upbringing when failure wasn't really championed or even things that we saw. And so equating failure with not having a quote unquote respectable job or not in a career track that you anticipated, that's really harmful for your own well-being to make that equality. So one suggestion is to reverse engineer 20 years from now, what do I want this to be true about my life? Or even breaking it down for a short-term goal, like by the end of the day, I would like X, Y, and Z finished, and that will mean a successful day.
Yeah, that point about success is something I don't think that's often talked about. I know that was a conversation that my wife and I had to have about like our career goals and where we wanted to be. And eventually. It was a very cultural different thing between the two of us. My wife and I have been on this podcast, so that was a thing. Like, success looked different culturally and personally for her, and it looked different culturally and personally for me. And that was a conversation we have to have. Speaking into community a little bit, two follow-up questions. One, you talked about the importance of community and the difficulty in cultivating that once you're out of college and being an adult. I've had this conversation multiple times, like, how would you recommend cultivating community without the benefit of an institution, I guess? Basically, without the benefit of being forced to be with random people for multiple hours in a day. I mean, there is the office, but it's a little different. And you also mentioned that TCKs generally will take a more transient or travel-free career path. So what would you say are suggestions for maintaining that community when you are in a more transient space? So like, you have your college friends and you move away from where you went to college, and then you're in a job where you're transitioning every 4 or 5 years or whatever, and you're cultivating communities in those various places. But I feel like there's an unhealthy way to do that that a lot of TCKs do, which is just like a, we're done, cool, I'm out, I'll see you on Facebook. Whereas like, trying to really cultivate true community is difficult to maintain over miles as well.
Yeah, great questions. I'm navigating them myself, right? I feel that every age and stage of your life, there's different communities, and life stages will have you befriend different people, different ages and different life stages. So two things I would say. One, find community that has common ground with you or shared interests. So if it was a sport you were interested in college or a pastime activity, find that community where you're at to continue to cultivate that pastime and that special interest. And then two, invest free time into volunteering. That could be in a faith community, that could be at a local food bank, that could be at a school. So find opportunities to invest in where you can serve. Those are two ways I've approached and recommend TCK's approach in finding community where they are at. In terms of sustaining community that you have, like you said, sometimes it's that quick release with relationships that I'm not going to see you, you know, next week anymore. So, you know, I'm out. So that it's really important to define your community. Who are your close friends? Who are your neighbors? Who are your professional networks? Who are your mentors? And what do you personally need in that relationship? And what are they asking to? If it becomes imbalanced or you're feeling really depleted in sustaining that community, it might be time to create more boundaries where you're going to say, I don't have the time to invest in this relationship in this way. But if there's a funny animal meme, I'm going to send it to you and be like, I thought about you. It's really interesting how social media and social media platforms do allow for those kind of fun, quirky ways to keep ties.
How can being a TCK work against someone as they're trying to build their careers? Like, I know we've mentioned like non-traditional, non-linear paths a little bit. The general career path looks different than it did for like our grandparents and our parents before them. But at the same time, do you think that this like crave for transition, how can, and if so, how can work against TCKs building their careers?
I have some very broad generalizations and observations I've had in working with TCKs, especially in their early career, is, well, first of all, out of university, sometimes TCKs, and this is not TCK specific, but sometimes people have a very limited understanding of career choice because growing up, they saw three options, you know, maybe diplomat, teacher, doctor, military. So it's really important to do some informational interviews with people in different sectors to understand what are those different fields and functions of this career path. And I would also say that sometimes TCKs, they give up or they job hop because of challenges and obstacles that they haven't faced. Some of this is due to the fact that their coworkers don't have a growth mentality. They're very set in their ways. And so it's hard for a TCK to adapt to that kind of environment. There's also this idea sometimes TCKs have an I deserve mentality. And that mentality is not going to get you very far as an employee if you say, I deserve, I deserve. Another factor I would say is that TCKs sometimes are people pleasers and accommodators. They'll stay too long in an unhealthy work environment, and they actually have coercive or manipulative bosses. TCKs who have always adjusted to other people and situations, they need to build the skills to professionally confront. They know how to advocate for themselves, and also, most importantly, I think, to seek counsel and mentorship. Those are some things I would say that could work against someone who's looking to build a career. The last thing I would say is TCKs need to learn about how to talk about their TCK experience. So saying you're a TCK doesn't tell me about your skill sets, and it doesn't really tell me about your mindset. It does tell me about an experience you had. Using words that, you know, because of my TCK experience, I am more empathetic or I am more service oriented will give an idea to employers about your values and how you are going to be a change agent or a benefit to them.
Specifically, like, I'm very quick to jump on like, oh, I just need a change, as opposed to like diagnosing why I may feel that way when I've had the benefit of having external factors prevent me from shifting careers or shifting jobs multiple places and required me to stay. But there's been that always, I think I'm just very quick to be like, oh, I just need a change. So then I'm going to find something else. Whereas as opposed to like, oh, I want to change, not just because I want to change, but maybe because I'm unhappy about a specific situation or this is not fulfilling me in one specific way. And what is that reason? And therefore, because if you don't take that time to be dissect and figure it out, then you just jump to a new job and it's equally as bad and you just keep jumping back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. What words of encouragement do you have for TCK young adults who maybe feel a bit more unsure about what they quote unquote want to be when they grow up, as opposed to their, say, monocultural peers, specifically as we talked about with that nonlinear kind of idea? And whereas, like, from me, you have people who in the town that my parents currently live, where it's like, my dad runs a car dealership. I got my degree in business. I'm going to take over his dealership. My cousin's a doctor who's going to take over my uncle's private practice. There's like 18 billion chiropractors that I know who are all going to end up working for their fathers or optometrists or whatever. And it's their passion. They very much want to do that. Whereas like with me or some of my other TCK friends were like, well, I got my degree in this, but now I'm doing this. And then it's this. And talking to my monocultural friends, they're kind of like, oh, so you just wasted that time and you wasted that time. And do you have any idea what you want to do? Not in that explicit, but that's kind of the vibes. What encouragement or advice would you give to people in mine and similar situations?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'm laughing and nodding my head because I know those people who have the One Direction career track that they have that kind of security and safety in knowing what their career is going to be. And for me, yes, the nonlinear part of my career has taken a lot of pivot. And a career journey is a journey, and it takes time to understand what you're good at. It takes time to build experience. It takes time to upskill. And it takes time to sit with mentors and understand what their career path was like and what they would recommend you do for next steps. Or if you have a goal for a career, how do you get there? What's a path to get there? I would also say that with careers, sometimes it takes time for both your aptitude and your interest to intersect. So sometimes you're going to have jobs that you're interested in, but don't necessarily reflect your aptitude or your talents or your education. Being okay with that and being okay with that imbalance the beginning of your career or even mid-career. I think of when I went back to school for grad school, I worked at a cupcake shop and I worked at a clothing store called Anthropology. In both of those applications, the interviewer saying, why are you doing this? And I said, because I want to be working, but I don't want to be working right now at a consulting firm or a think tank. I was in Washington, D.C. I want to invest my mental aptitude into my studies. And so that was a balance. I would say I cannot understress the value of mentors. I do have a quote from Marilyn Gardner's article on career. She's one of my mentors. Along with some of the books and resources available are other TCKs who are a step ahead of us. These TCKs seem so amazing, so well-adjusted, but what we see on the surface, the contentment and satisfaction, comes with a story. Hearing that story can be encouraging and life-changing. Knowing they walked through a path of trying to find their niche and figure out where they fit gives us hope and helps us push us to action or gives us patience to wait.
Adding on to that idea that like mentors don't have to be physical people that you meet and know and have a relationship with. I had a professor who's like, yeah, I've been mentored by dead authors, I've been mentored by script writers, I've been mentored by a lot of people who I'm just consuming their thoughts and their content. I maybe may never know them, but if I'm reading a really great book and it's influencing my life, I consider that person a mentor. I also like that what you mentioned about sometimes your skills might not affect where you currently are. Like I have a lifelong dream to be a barista. I'll probably be the most overqualified barista ever, but like that's just a personal thing of mine. Anyway. Final question. What is, as we're talking about career, it's always kind of entangled with what is the meaning for my life? There's a few questions where you're just kind of like trying to figure out God's will. One is like, who am I going to marry? The other one's like, where I'm going to go to college? And then what am I going to do with the rest of my life? Those are all very like big, like God's will questions. They always feel like if I get it wrong, then I've messed up God's plan and it's all my fault. And my life is terrible now because I made one wrong, bad decision. But so what is your advice for finding meaning / God's will in your career and work and kind of taking the pressure off of that aspect of finding God's will?
As someone who holds faith as part of my core identity, I find that at least the Western world and especially in the US and the community I live in, people are very driven, they're very distracted, and they value productivity. And so creating that space and that room for you to hear and know and have security and confidence in your next step does take that intentionality to create margin in your life. So something that I'm learning in this season of my life and career is that God puts you in different seasons of life. And our responsibility is to trust God and take the next step. One verse that's really I'm clinging to right now is Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. One thing I notice in reading this verse is that it's in present tense. Your word is a lamp to my feet. When I look at your word, it means the Bible. It means my spiritual directors in my life who are speaking into my faith journey. And then what's interesting is that the latter part of that verse, and a light to my path, it actually doesn't have a verb. So a light to my path could actually be past tense and looking back, that you only have the light of your path illuminated looking back, or it could be that you only have a few steps ahead of you illuminated. But the important thing is decisions and choices are made in the present. Allowing Jesus to plot my career course is making sure that I am not operating out of plotting it out of greed or insecurity or fear or competition. You know, Jesus said, follow me and I will make you. And so having that confidence and rest in Jesus and knowing that in our adventures with God, we should expect the unexpected. That's even in our career pivots. Like, I did work in the service sector for a time at the cupcake shop at Anthropology. And at the same time, I was pursuing a degree. And I think that was a waiting period in my life. And that was a period in my life that was preparing me for the dream I had tucked in the corner of my heart and that desire that God gave me, but it was not moving in my timeline. It was moving on His timeline. That reminds me of Philippians 1:6 of He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Having that perspective of what is career versus calling, knowing that sometimes callings are for a season, but calling is always motivation to please God. So your career is what you paid for and what you essentially trained for, but your calling is what you're made for. Trust God in the process. He's out of our time and space, but He chose to put you in this time and in this space for a purpose. And no one else can do what God has placed you in this time of history to do. Nothing is wasted in what you experience or develop or go through. You know, I declare Psalm 143:8 for my life, for your life, for the listeners, that teach me the way in which I should walk.
Professional speaker right here, ladies and gentlemen. That was fantastic. Thank you very much, Megan, for being a part of this project and for your words. If you guys really liked what Megan had to say, I know I did, make sure to check out her podcast. You can find A Culture Story on all the platforms, most likely whatever platform you're listening to this podcast on right now. And if you liked what I had to say, or you want to hear more content similar to what Megan did, you don't necessarily have to like what I have to say. Nothing I say is that important. But you can subscribe to our podcast for more awesome episodes. TCKVOF is available on all the platforms as well. We're available on the one you're listening to us on right now, obviously. If you are so inclined, please leave us a review and tell us how great we are, or tell us how we can improve. Like, leave a legitimately honest review. However, the better reviews you do leave, the better we are able to get this in front of other people and the way the algorithms work, and that's a thing. But also tell people about our podcast if you really, really have liked it. If you want to stay connected to us, ask a question, or have a topic you would like to discuss in the future, you can click on the message button on Anchor, leave us a voice message, or you can send us a DM on Instagram at TCKVOF. Thank you again for listening to TCKVOF, where our conversations of TCKs and faith come together. I hope you have a fantastic rest of your week.